knowledge fire.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today, I feel at risk of sounding like a broken record a tiny bit, because I did mention this on a previous episode, but I have been playing a bit of Diablo.
Oh, okay.
But that is not my bright spot. This is merely the background or the context for my bright spot.
Sure.
I have an interest in trophies in games.
All right.
I very much enjoy the feeling of, like, when I'm playing something, sometimes I like to complete things.
Sure.
But there is a conflict that I have, and that is that one of the trophies in Diablo is you have to kill five other players.
Yes.
And I do not like that. I don't like player versus player stuff. I don't like playing with people online, and it is fucking annoying, and it's a sort of a hurdle that I can never really cross with a lot of these games.
Yes.
Is when they have trophies that require you to
interact with other human beings through a medium that you hate. Yes.
I was going to say kill other people.
Right.
But yeah, what you're saying is probably more accurate.
Sure.
But my bright spot is that you took the time out of your day to create characters for me to kill in Diablo in order to get that that trophy. So thank you very much.
I
appreciate, that's a good friend right there.
I mean, hey, let's not forget, I had to spend I don't know how much money to get that internet thing to work. I think it's like $10 or something.
Oh no!
To get the yeah.
I didn't even realize.
I'm just fucking with you.
Oh shit!
No. Yeah, of course. It was great.
It was very nice
of you.
Fantastic. And now I have that trophy. So
what was my? Oh, you the last one you killed.
It was something about cat turd.
Not cat turd was the name of the... I had a little fun.
Made me suspect that maybe it was cat turd.
If only.
That was very nice. So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is also a gift that I gave you. Mm-hmm. but today, it's there's a spot opened up near my place. My wife exercises early now because it's the summer. And this is a donut shop that sells out of the donuts. It's one of those places that's good at stuff to the point where people are like, you can't even have it anymore.
They're not big enough that they can make an unlimited supply.
Right.
But it's, they're so good that people will buy them out.
You can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a great... Like, in the world that we inhabit where it feels like all of that stuff is either, like... It bursts into flame and then disappears, or bursts into flame and then turns into everything terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this one brief shining moment where it's too good and it's not good enough to go too far.
Nice.
You know? And it's just perfect.
Well, I like that we're talking about this.
Yes.
Because here there's an interesting dynamic of you bringing this up.
Have I mentioned that they're donuts yet?
I think so. I think you did. I feel like you did.
I don't know. We talked about it before the show.
Ooh,
but it's entirely possible that I did not even mention
it. You might have just said it's a
place.
Thing that sells out of stuff.
It's one of those places, yes.
I might have assumed that you said donut because this is the primary tension. You're giving a shout out to this and you're making it a bright spot, but if you name the place...
It's all gone.
Right. You can't
it's
say...
all over.
Yeah.
It's all over.
You can't say what this place is... Because that's going to make them run out of donuts that much quicker than you're not going to be able to get them.
I mean, the craziest part, it's down the street from a Stan's Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the type of thing that happened. Like, it's a pre and post kind of shit, you know? Like, there was a time when Stan's Donuts was that small place, you know, doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we are. Now here they are.
Stan's going down.
None of you can know. None of you can know about any of this.
So the plug is for Stan's Donuts.
Stan's Donuts. Go there, you losers.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over. Yes. We're going to be talking about June 25th and 26th Okay. That is Tuesday and Wednesday of this week.
Okay.
Obviously, at this point in my mind, as we're sitting here recording on Thursday, the debate between Trump and Biden is coming up this evening.
Yes.
And there's very little else that is sort of front of mind.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that yet. So that will have to wait until next week.
Yeah.
But for now, we have... The news has happened with Alex's bankruptcy. There have been developments on that front.
Sure.
So we can see where his mind is at and then talk about other really upsetting stuff.
Sure.
So that's what we'll do.
Let's do it.
But first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, the High Priestess of St. Hilary's Church, Larry Nichols' voice. Oh, witches. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Jonathan Morgan, flight attendant, not eccentric millionaire. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Gritty sounds like Chewbacca with a 5-pack-a-day roar. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And congratulations, Sean the Skipper of Sodomite Shit being a master of history. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And we got a technocrat in the mix. So thank you so much to Time to Dry the Game Crinkle because Kyle and Leroy need a challenge. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So we start here on the 25th, and Alex is a bit exhausted by his own bankruptcy, which I can understand. Everyone is. This has gone on a while.
Yep.
This twisting tale. Mm.
I know it's exhausting. It's exhausting for me. This roller coaster battle as the establishment tries to shut down InfoWars. Now they've had the Democrat Party lawyers on CNN last week saying, we just want him off air. We don't want money. Well, the courts are designed, even if you rig a case, you just get money in a civil issue. So I told you they've done multiple filings the last 3 weeks. They tried to have the CRO block the building without a court order. The judge blocked that. I mean, it's been a roller coaster. And then my phones blow up yesterday after I'm off air. Saying, oh, what's this headline? AP, Reuters, just Bloomberg, CNN, Alex Jones, InfoWars bankruptcy trustee discloses plan to shut down media platform. There's a bunch of other similar headlines. Bankruptcy court trustee and Alex Jones liquidation case previews wind down of media company. That's a wind down over 2 to 4 months. Instead of the judge's order, signed last Friday, Guerra Gamble, the same one that ran the show trial against me here in Texas, to have sheriffs come yesterday, she said immediately, and lock the doors. That's in the order. So people say, okay, well, what's happening? Well, that's what I told you a few weeks ago. They will immediately come and try to shut things down.
So we've got this news that the trustee has announced this plan for a wind down, and it's... You know, obviously everything is very frustrating and this keeps going on. But, if you take a step back, the best case scenario for Alex really is this InfoWars is going to be shut down gradually.
Mm-hmm.
That, at this point, the two options that are really in front of him are like, you're shut down now or you're shut down in this process.
Right.
And so, there's a little bit of, I guess, some sort of... like relief that must come from that. I'm not sure it's enough, and I'm not sure it feels any better, but
okay. So here's what I imagine. All right. Now imagine this. All right. I'm robbing a bank, and then the cops give me a call, and they're like, hey, in a good 5 years, we're going to come get you from that vault. And I'm like, okay. So I just hang out and I do a show in the vault and just keep all that money. And then whenever there's like 30 minutes before they're going to come catch me, I just start handing all of that money to my dad, and then we leave.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting scenario you paint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder how those feelings you have about this sort of allegory will match with what Alex's behaviors are.
It's interesting. It's especially interesting how very, very similar, even on this episode. Very, very similar they seem to be.
Yeah. So Alex talks about a Wall Street Journal article that he believes he's read that describes the plan to shut him down. Mm-hmm. Now, this article, I should tell you, does not exist.
Oh!
The Wall Street Journal, 6 years ago, ran a big, detailed subscription article that I read in detail here on air because it was about me. And it was about you. And
it's about us.
They said in a big prospectus article when News Corp was splitting up its media entertainment division and selling it to Disney, but was keeping its news division. And they explained in the big article for investors that the internet will soon be like Netflix. You'll have thousands of choices, but it'll be owned by a handful of companies. And we're going to successfully censor and demonetize and destroy WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. And when the left wing doesn't stand up, we'll set the precedent to take all the liberals off the air.
Sure.
And off the internet. And then when we demonize and remove Alex Jones, the conservatives won't stand up for him because they'll be scared of being shut down. And then once they don't stand up for him, they won't stand up for the next person, and we'll get all of them. And I was horrified by it because it was a very serious article. I've covered it a lot. I forget the exact headline on it, but there was a Gizmodo headline and a couple others that were, "Hold on to your tinfoil hat, Alex Jones. YouTube's about to take you off the air." And then it linked to the Wall Street Journal article, and we had a paid subscription, and I printed off the 30-something page article where it said, "Meeting at NATO
30-something pages?
Big tech, working with the EU, has developed a plan to stop disinformation and shut down, blah, blah, blah." But then it went in to the fact that this would make dinosaur media, legacy media, more successful, and was telling investors, don't worry about all the competition. Don't worry about lagging readers at the Wall Street Journal.
Would it surprise you to learn that none of this is in the Wall Street Journal article that he's talking about?
I mean, the 30 pages thing was a tip-off.
It was not 30 pages. It was like maybe two.
Okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't a prospectus being sent out from the New World Order to their minions and investors. All this shit he's saying is made up. The article is about YouTube adding context to videos that are considered news-related. Hmm. For instance, they were going to put tags on videos produced by state-funded media outlets so viewers would have the proper context to view them in.
Sure.
Alex is briefly mentioned in that article because he did a live stream about how that train crash that happened back in 2018 was an attempted assassination of Republican Congress members.
Right.
YouTube commented that, quote, its algorithm hadn't recognized the search quickly enough as a news-related query, which is why it was allowed to be in the top results if someone was searching for that news story.
Right.
This is the only place where Alex actually even intersects with this fairly short story that has nothing to do with, oh, our plan is to demonize Assange and Alex so we can get them from both sides.
I do believe, though, that makes sense. That's part of the, like, if there is a small article mentioning Alex in the past, over time, it will become an article focused entirely about Alex that was about 30 pages long.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And it reveals everything.
It just gets big. It grows. It's like a little baby. If you write a story about Alex, just watch the story grow.
Now, you want to hear something fun? A fun fact?
Yes.
I got a Wall Street Journal account because of this. Not this time, but when I first heard, because this is, like, Alex has brought this article up before.
Right.
And I was like, if there's a 30-page in-depth thing, I've got to read this, even if it's behind a subscription thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I did end up getting an account just to look into this.
Disappointment.
And it's bullshit. And he's peddling it again.
Now you're just a fan of the editorial board.
Nope. So Alex is he's in checkmate, mm-hmm. as he describes to the audience here, because of the bankruptcy stuff.
Sure.
Basically, all he can really do at this point is extend the inevitable, which is InfoWars is going to go down.
Right.
And he's just kind of ping ponging. He's sort of, that's how he describes it. Going back and forth with courts, wasting everyone's time.
Yeah,
basically.
That is that sounds right. Yes.
Yeah.
So again, if I'm in checkmate in one move, but I can do another move and be in checkmate in three moves, I'm going to move away, even though I'm going to be cornered and they're going to get me. I'm still staying on air and fighting to the last minute, going down swinging. And that's why it's we're about to be shut down, and you read it all over the news, and then we're not, and we're about to be shut down, and then we're not. And people say, what is this? This is what it looks like to fight. This is what it looks like to struggle. This is what it looks like to put everything you've got into something. I mean, I sold almost everything I had before I went into bankruptcy for the legal fight to keep this place going, because I understand we've saved tens of millions of lives, myself, the guests, the listeners, spreading the word about the poison shots and about all the medical tyranny and the open border and the drag queen pedophile time and World War III. And every day we stay on air, the show gets bigger, the broadcast gets more influential, and we affect more people. And that's admitted.
That's admitted. This is a really interesting prism to look at Alex's work through. Like, he believes he's saved 10 million lives by this bullshit that he's, you know, just rambles about on air.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty, I mean, if you believe that about yourself, then I can understand why you would be able to rationalize wasting everyone's time in the court like this.
Sure, sure. I mean, the irony, of course, is that essentially he took a job working for a disease for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Still now to this day.
Yeah,
he works for a disease.
He's one of the last remaining employees.
Yes, he
actually, that's not true.
No.
There's quite a big department working for them.
Yeah, their HR department is, yeah.
I know a guy who has experience in HR. Someone's dad.
He's your dad. Yeah.
So look, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Even though Alex is in checkmate, there's a catch 22. And that is that you need to buy products, because if you don't, then that will guarantee that InfoWars goes away. So if you don't buy anything, they're going to be gone.
Right.
But if you do buy things, they're probably going to be gone.
Right.
But here's the issue.
Okay.
Who gives a shit?
Right.
You need to bet on InfoWars.
I like this. Now we're talking.
You might not get what you order.
Okay.
But that's
now,
a gamble.
Now I'm liking this.
That's a gamble.
This is a pitch.
There's a federal hearing tomorrow, and if the judge doesn't block Guerra Gamble closing the doors here, the Democrat Party judge, we can be closed in the next few days. Now, I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe the judge is going to block this tomorrow. Also, the federal trustee took control of the bank account, so he's in control of it. I think about 90% chance that the judge blocks this tomorrow. That said, it creates a paradox where if you've got your orders in for products that we need you to order to stay on air, plus they're great products, you could, I guess the state judge might be wild enough, we've already seen that, to not care about you, and then you don't get your products, but you'll be all right. The average order is like $50. I understand, you know, that's a bummer, but if you stop betting on us just because you think they're about to bring us down, you'll be the ones that kill us inadvertently instead of them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So bet on InfoWars. Bet on us continuing on.
That is quite a sales pitch. You might not get what you order.
I like that.
But you got to do it or else we're screwed. All right. I'm uninspired.
I mean, if, I'll say this, if that was Boeing's new slogan, it'd be a lot more honest. Hey, listen, you're probably going to get there.
This is what happens when you don't have a coherent PR department and no one has, like, the message isn't being polished.
It's a little bit difficult to really kind of get your head around that one.
Unless this is intentional. Because I'm sitting here thinking,
yeah,
fuck, that sounds risky.
It does sound risky.
I don't want to order stuff if I don't know if I'm going to get it.
Oh, but you like to gamble.
But I wish that there was a way I could support Alex and be certain that I was going to get what I ordered.
Oh,
if
no.
only there was an option
if
like that.
If only there was a 100%
maybe someone's dad's
certain
business.
Oh, my God.
Now, that said, I will tell you where your order is completely safe and where you should bet on us. And the safest bet on your future and freedom is drjonesnaturals.com. And so many of the old products that were in InfoWars that were so popular that the CRO just kicked out of the shopping cart, I guess, to look to me like scuttle the company. My dad was coming. I already had a warehouse set up in North Austin years ago. I told him he shouldn't do it. He did it, and thank God he didn't listen to me. He's smarter than me in many ways, and he set it up. So it's got the Rocket Rest, the Combo Chill, the Top Brain Nootropic, all the Nano Silver products, the toothpaste, the Immune Gargle, the Immune Topical, the fiber greens that are concentrated sproutling seeds that flush out your gut and do amazing things to your body, concentrate, and the Next Level Foundational Energy, and Turbo Force, a very limited small run. It'll be sold out within just a few days because it's discounted. 40+%. Also, there's colloidal silver, 30 parts per million. Good old silver bullet.
Good old silver bullet. All these old products that Alex used to sell, his dad's selling now, but it's totally a different company. I feel like we run the risk at a certain point of sounding like we're, you know, hitting the same beat or
no,
whatever.
No.
But this is nuts that this is so transparent and so, like, not a problem.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's how I feel about this, because I've been furious for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this. I'm a fairly angry person.
I get that vibe sometimes.
Right. You know how when you were playing Galaga as a kid? Or Galaga?
I think it's Galaga.
Galaga. All right. Galaga. Whatever. And then you get down to the final ones, okay? And the trick is you need to shoot at where the thing is going to be, right? Not at where it was. Because by the time you aim for where it was, it will be at where it was going to be.
This is the principle of throwing a ball.
Right. So now, while I respect everyone's excellent work in the legal system up until this point, great job, 5 stars, I would posit that it's entirely possible later on people will say, maybe this whole fake business of Dr. Jones's Naturals should also be paying for things.
Yeah.
Right. But, aha, see, then you will have Dr. Jones involved, who will also be able to hire lawyers, who will be able to hire lawyers who are not Norm Pattis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then we will go back into a courtroom, my friend.
I do think that what you're describing is, like, Alex is a moving target.
Yeah.
And
shoot for it now. Get it now.
That has a certain amount of advantages to it.
Absolutely.
And one of them is he's clearly just remaking InfoWars Health or InfoWars Life.
I mean,
under his dad's banner.
We just start singing songs from Street Rat, always one step of the... Like, what are we doing, guys? Yeah. Everybody, are we dumb or am I dumb? Because I'm a clown.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
So Alex has been lied about by lots of people.
Tons of people.
Some people have even been offered as much as $50,000 to make up lies about him.
I wish.
And, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have called me where the media has called them and offered them money to lie about me, and they've refused the money. And it goes up to like $50,000 in the offers. And they just feel like they have a free hand to lie about me and attack me. And they got one employee, got paid off at the Southern Poverty Law Center, and ran around in here for a year, really committing, I believe it's criminal. People say, well, why don't you go press charges? It takes us off mission.
Yeah,
they had a Southern Poverty Law Center operative in here that hacked into the camera systems and tried to find something bad that we were doing, and of course couldn't, but they still published the stuff. And it was like me smoking a cigarette, which I quit for 14 years, but I occasionally smoke a cigarette. And I love tobacco. I love chewing tobacco. I love pipes. I love cigars. I can't smoke one cigar, though. It was about a couple of years ago. I was at the shooting range and I smoked a cigar. And then the next day, one of the crew was smoking a cigarette. And I said, give me one of those. And that's what you got is me standing there outside my office with a glass with ice in it, pouring vodka in it, and with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. I mean, that's the best you got, really. And everybody knows I do that. I admit it. I'm an idiot. I'm a man. I can't help it. So I'm like my ancestors. Hell knows they did it.
I think one of the bigger issues was, you know, the full bottles of booze during the day, like at 10 a.m. at the office.
Yeah.
Like there's a bigger picture than what Alex is portraying. And I think he's now at a point where he just kind of has to admit the smoking thing.
Yeah.
Because
you're just a smoker.
He was hiding that for a bit. But now with the he's in situations where you can't cover it up.
Yeah.
Like that Owen did his live stream of their We're Going Out of Business spectacular. Yeah. And on that show, you couldn't hide that Alex was just lighting up cigarettes in the studio. And so, like, he's just kind of like, okay, all right, we're going to incorporate this in. Whatever.
Why not?
Who cares?
I mean, honestly.
And honestly, I don't care.
Yeah, smoking makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
High stress. This is, we're like, the idea is that he should be stressed. Like, mm-hmm. we're all grateful that he's feeling not good. Like, we shouldn't be. At the very least, he doesn't feel good most of the time.
It's right? Someone in Alex's position, were he really himself,
yeah.
he believes he's fighting the fucking devil
yeah.
who can possess people to do his bidding, and they could be walking anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and they have their sort of hooks in all kinds of institutions and government bodies
yeah.
and all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
He should be on air with his tie undone, a glass of scotch,
and
a cigarette.
Yeah, smoke him when you got him. The yes. world is ending. Nuclear yes. war is around the corner yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
Why not smoke?
It's just that he doesn't believe any of those things.
Right,
it's
right,
all
right.
an act.
Yeah, yeah. You can, it's hard to be like, well, I don't want to get lung cancer in 40 years, but also nuclear war is 3 months away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Alex has a guest on,
mm-hmm.
and this guy is a bit of a troll online.
Sure.
And he lives in the Russian consulate in Australia.
Great.
Always trying to tell you the truth. Doesn't mean I don't make some mistakes sometimes, but in the main, I've been dead on. Over the target. All right. Our guest, Semyon Boykov, known as the Aussie Cossack, is himself a political prisoner in Australia. Just like Julian Assange, he's living at the consulate.
So this fellow, Semyon Boykov, is a pro-Russia troll who posts bullshit on social media. It's fitting that he would be on InfoWars because, as reported by the BBC, Boykov was responsible for misidentifying the perpetrator of a 2024 Sydney mall attack
Great.
That left six people dead, which led to the harassment being directed towards the misidentified person.
Hey.
This is quite literally the same thing Alex has done to so many people, including Marcel Fontaine. Boykov is hiding in the Russian consulate in Sydney to avoid facing charges that he, quote, allegedly caused a 76-year-old man to fall down a staircase backwards, sustaining a head injury. This was at a pro-Ukraine event. The victim was a Ukraine supporter, and Boykov unfortunately recorded himself pushing the dude down some stairs.
Right.
So it's a pretty open and shut case.
Right, 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 right.
That assault happened in December 2022, and after he fled to the consulate to hide, Putin granted him Russian citizenship in September 2023.
Great.
Anyway, the guy's a pro-Putin shill who has a history of exploiting tragedies in ways that cause direct harm to innocent people, so he's a perfect fit for Alex to have on the show. This is ridiculous.
Wow. You know, I think here's the thing about that. All right. Until the internet, you had to really get close to an oligarch to toady up to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to be like right there, or at least, you know, they had to get your ideas to them, man. Can you imagine like somebody who is a big supporter of like King Louis, you know, all the way across the world, just talking shit enough that Louis's like, you're French now. Amazing.
If you build enough clout.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That wasn't possible. Thank God for the internet. Now yeah. you can talk your shit to the point where you can get anything you want in this world.
It opens up doors.
It is amazing.
So obviously the big news is that Julian Assange was released.
Sure.
And sure. So this is a unqualified victory for people like Alex.
Is it?
Well, they're thrilled about it. They love Julian Assange. But there is a little bit of a downside, and that is that Trump was supposed to do this.
There was that.
This is supposed to be something that, like, this is one of the big things that Alex complains about Trump.
Right.
He got the vaccines. He didn't pardon Assange.
Right, right, right.
All of this stuff. And now Assange is being released under Biden, which is a problem.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
That is a fucking problem.
But how do you get around it?
That's a good question.
Let's see if these two can come up with a way.
All right.
Broken clocks are right twice a day. Trump did not do the right thing with Assange. He was threatened by the CIA. He admitted that. He did not give him a pardon. But Biden, under overwhelming public support, bipartisan, upward in the 80s, to release Assange, has done the right thing. So we do give credit when it is due, Aussie Cossack.
Well, I agree with you. It's a great thing to celebrate. It gives hope, and it's a breath of fresh air, some good news amongst all the bad news in the world at the moment. But the question is, why would they do this? And I don't think they did it to help Assange. They've done it to help themselves. And I think that Biden just tried to probably disarm Trump, so Trump couldn't use this card before the presidential debate, which is upcoming. And this basically question has been neutralized. That's the best assumption that we can draw upon.
Brilliant. it's defensive. It's a defense move, so Trump can't attack Biden about this.
Right, right.
Aha!
That is genius.
But it's not, because let's imagine this scenario where Trump was like, hey, you should release Julian Assange.
Yeah.
And then Biden could be like, you didn't.
Yeah.
Because he was president, too.
Yeah, there is the you were also president part.
You had every opportunity to do this. Why are you attacking me over something you didn't do?
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense as a defensive move in the way that Boykov is expressing.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't really make sense. It would be nice, though, if like that was what the debate turned into, is the like, here's what I would have done. And it's like, well, why didn't you? Let's fucking do this.
Shit.
All right. So... the military-industrial complex. Mm. Boom. And then they're both dead,
Mattis.
And we move on, you know?
Mattis wouldn't let me. Do you remember Reince Priebus?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Everybody, calm it down.
So look, this dude, he pushed someone down a flight of stairs.
He pushed somebody down a flight of stairs!
It's not like a whole, like, a interior flight of stairs, like a whole floor.
Right.
It was a smaller staircase, but it was still, like, a dude... went backwards down some stairs.
Oof.
And got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Alex has a different take on what he did.
That sounds right.
You exposed the poison shots. They came and arrested you for your speech and are now trying to put you in prison for it. That's how tyrannical Australia is. They're now passed a regulation to, quote, deprogram men to not be masculine and have set up a federal bureau. I mean, Australia is beyond Orwellian now, for people that don't know.
Absolutely. This country is not what it used to be. It's not a safe place, especially for journalists. I mean, if you're just a person who wants to tread along in life, pay 47% of your wages in tax and be part of the rat race, it's okay. But as soon as you stick your head above the water, if you're a tall poppy, as they say in Australia, you're in danger. And Assange has returned to Australia. Maybe that's part of the plea bargaining deal that he's made, that he has to return to Australia. Maybe that's part of the deal, that the Americans wouldn't release him, for example, into the Russians' custody. But I think Assange's full capacity, his potential as the world's number one journalist, as some people are calling him, I tend to agree with that myself, his potential could be fully realized.
Was there a tournament?
He was living in a country where the government would support him, where the state media would support him. Being in Australia, Assange would still be scrutinized. He would still be at risk, at threat, because we are all at risk or under threat in Australia. There is no freedom of speech in Australia, as you mentioned, Alex.
Yeah, so these should go to Russia. Where Assange, where journalists can truly be free. Assange should go to Russia. He makes a compelling argument.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate... I appreciate anybody who can get the cushy job of wanting to be somewhere where they don't have any of the advantages that they get to have currently,
mm-hmm.
while never actually wanting to go there.
Mm-mm.
That's a good gig.
Especially, apparently, as he describes it, the Russian consulate in Sydney is pretty nice. They got a gym. He's staying
so
there, and it's pretty sweet.
It's better than Russia.
Probably better than where he was living.
Yeah, right?
I don't know.
What a cushy gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you got to do is push somebody down stairs at a pro-Ukraine event.
You know, I've been thinking about this. What is personal responsibility?
Hmm.
What is personal responsibility? And I think at the end of the day, we should just define it as, if somebody shows you a video of this fucking guy pushing an old man down the street that he fucking filmed,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you don't get to stay at the consulate. You have to go with them.
What if you say a bunch of stuff that
we like it. I apologize. Listen, we think you're great, mm-hmm. but personal responsibility dictates that you must go with these gentlemen, sir.
I'm afraid that that's not how it works.
See, there we go.
So look, here's this guy.
Yeah.
The Boykov.
Uh-huh.
He believes that Assange should go to Russia because that's where journalists are free.
Sure.
And that's what he thinks. He thinks if you go to Australia, you're never going to get a fair shake.
Go for it.
Got to go to Russia.
Yeah.
But also, maybe he should stay in Australia.
Maybe.
And become prime minister.
Interesting.
I predict he's going to take a month off, recharge, and come roaring out of there. I think he's going to come out of there bat out of hell.
Look, the Australian people need him, and I think the West needs Assange as a breath of fresh air. There's a very high level of trust towards him. If he goes for it, I think he'll become prime minister. He can, of Australia. But at the same time, if he wants to have a rest and if he wants to just retire, Russia is open for people like Assange. Snowden is in Russia. There's plenty of Western journalists in Moscow. In fact, Moscow is crawling with
expats. No, believe me, I know the Russians have got the doors wide open. Believe me, I'm going
to
leave it at that.
Alex, you're always welcome to Russia also. You know that too.
It'd be news-making if I told you.
They've already invited you, I believe.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, of course.
Shit.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
They already did, like, in 2015. You already said this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not anything new. He's somebody that they see some use in.
Yeah, there's no reason that you wouldn't offer him a job if you're a Russian state media company. You'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah. Go for it.
And he's, he's been on enough media places where they flattered him as the ideal of the Western man.
Yeah, no, I mean, the only thing about it is, like, if I was Russia, I'd be like, hey, you do what you want to do. It is exactly like you having a boss, because we can finance you and all this stuff. But literally, we're a state actor. We give no fucks what you say about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not here, right? So just go. You know, like, why not have a Russia Wars website and just call it that? Like, it doesn't matter.
Or maybe InfoWars Moscow.
All right.
What about that?
They've already invited you, I believe.
Well, yeah, yeah.
InfoWars Moscow. It's got a nice ring.
I'm not going to make some. I got to go down with a ship. Man, my family's been here on the Mayflower. Texas Revolution, we led it. I have to go down with a ship. I can't leave. I appreciate, the offer, and I'll leave it at that. But, yeah, it came directly from the top. And it just shows Putin's got his eye on things. I mean, he gave you citizenship. Boom.
Well, look, Putin respects patriots, and patriots, American patriots, Australian patriots, Russian patriots, it's all very similar. A patriot is someone who cares about his country and his people, and that's the main fight.
Well, it's somebody that can't be bought.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Y'all have bad ideas about words and just things in general.
It's fun, though. It's fun to hear.
I guess.
This guy who's hiding in the Russian consulate, and Cindy and Alex are talking about how much Putin loves patriots.
Is he just too on? Is Putin too online, or all world leaders just too online now?
Well,
is that a thing?
You wonder if it's actually Putin,
right.
or if it is the projection of Putin that these people who are too online have created.
It has to be something like that.
Yeah.
Or Putin is just like, who's this fucking guy on my Twitter feed who is saying mean things about Ukrainians?
But also, I think that it would be in Putin's worst interests to actually have Alex go to Russia.
Of course.
Because you'd have to kill him eventually.
Yeah, you don't want him there.
No, you want him in exactly the position we're in right here.
Keep him. Alex, we will give you
we'll
all
flatter
votes.
The shit out of you.
Of course.
And this will be great.
You've got rubles for days.
You will never, ever be critical of us in any way.
Nope.
As long as we're super complimentary.
Totally, yeah.
And then we don't have to kill you.
We don't. Just don't come here, because then you'll be like, I don't like this, and then you gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex and Boykov go their separate ways.
Sure.
And Alex, I guess he's into Seth Rich conspiracies again.
Why not?
Talking about Julian Assange and him saying Seth Rich was the leaker on the DNC who was shot in the back and executed, and all their attempts to shut down discussions of that. I want to air clip 17, Joe Rogan talking about Seth Rich. Just remember what Assange and people of the world, not just Americans, have gone through.
What about what Seth Rich's family has gone through? What are you doing? Does Rogan want you to re-air this stuff? Is he thrilled that you're doing this again? I don't know. I haven't listened to enough Rogan. Maybe he does still stand by this stuff. But, like, this was the kind of thing that was going to get him sued by Seth's parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so I don't know if this is necessarily in anyone's best interests.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with all of it. Because at this point, right, here's what I'm struggling with. At this point, it's very clear that these people are going to believe bullshit. So if you just are like, hey, don't say that because there might be consequences, it's not going to change anything.
Probably not.
And then eventually you're not going to be looking, and they're going to be like, ha ha, you're not looking. Bah! Seth Rich is back. You know, like
but
that.
Look how much we're reliving 2016.
That's what I'm saying. I can't do it again.
Seth Rich.
I can't do it again.
Conspiracies. Julian Assange is in the news.
Nope. All of you overthrow the government or don't. I'm out.
Ugh. So anyway, Alex has a plan to stay in business.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we all know what it is, but he doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, he doesn't.
And there is a path where we will continue on. And I'm not going to get into the strategy on that. But I've told you we're here. People say, well, why are you still here? They've been trying to shut you down for weeks. We're fighting back. We're using every maneuver we can. We're in a war. That's what it looks like when you don't just sit there like a jellyfish and take stuff. That said, we're cornered, but it's okay. We won't give up, even if they shut down InfoWars. We'll be stronger than ever in many ways. Though I'm loyal to this crew and loyal to this operation, so I'm going down with the ship. But please support our big sponsor that keeps us on air, and any future endeavors I know will be a sponsor. That's my dad's company. They ship the products to you right out of Central Texas. It's got a warehouse in Round Rock, North Austin. DrJonesNaturals.com. Amazing.
Couldn't be more clear. Really couldn't be more clear what the game is here.
It's outside of Austin, Dan.
It's in Round Rock.
It's outside of Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He's never even been there.
No. Totally different city.
Completely different
company.
Completely different business.
Totally different generation.
Listen, all I'll say is that it would take a bankruptcy judge not to see the difference between those two.
So I was a bit underwhelmed as a whole by the 25th.
Yeah.
Outside of this weird interview with this Russian guy where Alex is clearly saying, I've had offers.
Right. I mean, what else?
So we're jumping to the 26th, and I was just completely flabbergasted by the beginning of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It is 15 minutes long-ish of Alex talking about how he's going to cover something tomorrow.
Okay.
And that
what?
Is, yeah.
Okay.
They are expanding these, and they are gearing them up, and this is the climate. This is the time they're going to use them.
He's talking about FEMA camps.
Sure.
Back at the time, I didn't say it was imminent. I didn't say they were going to use them.
Yes, you did.
I said they're there, and I went over the history of it, and I made 5 films on it. I wrote a book on it. Previous to you know, Obama and his executive orders, we have been all over this like flies on you know what, or like white on rice. And so I promise you, tomorrow, that we will be covering this in great detail. I mean, I could talk about it all right now.
Do it.
I am a leading expert on this.
Okay.
Because I've discovered it decades ago and I've been exposing it.
Go, then. Go.
But
now
I realize, Alex, you haven't talked about FEMA camps and their plans for years. I mean, I'm Mr. FEMA camp. Everybody knows that. Who's a long-term listener.
Everybody does know that. Mr. FEMA camp.
I'm Mr. FEMA camp.
I think you may have just forgotten some specifics and talking points, and I guess maybe it's hot now. Maybe there's some memes going around.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're doing FEMA. We've heard this on some past episodes that these FEMA camp narratives are coming back.
Sure.
But now it seems acute. And like Alex feels the need to reassert his dominance in the FEMA camp field.
Yeah.
But he can't. So he's going to do it tomorrow, but he's going to talk for 15 minutes about how he's going to do it tomorrow on this show.
Right.
I was just like, there's layers to this.
Well, no, I mean, if you really want to hear about it, you have to go to www.drfemacamps.com.
Right. Absolutely. That's where you can get Alex's dad's FEMA camps. Yeah,
exactly. He's Dr. FEMA camp.
Right. Mr. FEMA camp.
Alex is just Dr. FEMA camp.
So we get a Supreme Court decision that came out, and Alex not very happy about it.
Ooh!
But there's town hall, Supreme Court watch. The First Amendment was just dealt a major blow. Not a blow. If it's implemented and allowed to stand, it's a decapitation. I mean, it is crazy town. And I've got the ruling right here. I read it this morning. I felt good till I read the ruling. I was having a nice day. I got nauseous. I mean, pit in my stomach. Because it's so horrible. It's not just saying First Amendment's gone. It's saying we're going to surveil you and spy on you, and the government itself is going to censor you. Total prior constraint, absolutely illegal, a nightmare situation, and it's just par for the course here. You know, what dirt do they have on the Supreme Court getting to do this? Or with the other 6 cases in front of them, are they about to shoot it down another way? They think it's a better way to shoot it down another way. I don't know. This was a good case. We had lawyers on, researched it. I mean, they had a very strong case, cut and dry. And the Supreme Court, well, I'll tell you what they said.
Bam. So the Supreme Court didn't destroy the First Amendment.
Sure.
They ruled in Murphy versus Missouri that it's not a violation of the First Amendment for the government to express their desire for social media platforms to remove content. The government cannot act in ways that are coercive towards these platforms, but there's nothing wrong with them asking to not allow stuff like recruiting ads for terrorist groups or advice that people should drink bleach instead of getting vaccinated.
Sure.
The government can express to these places, like, this is not,
excuse me,
this
sir,
is bad content.
Could you please don't kill yourself?
This is dangerous.
Right.
This underlying case was a bad case, unlike what Alex says. He said it's a good case.
He said it was
a bad case.
Yeah.
And it really only made it to the Supreme Court because the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is increasingly far right these days.
Sure.
And they've made a number of dubious decisions that end up going to the Supreme Court, like this one.
Great.
Which is the strategy.
Yeah.
That is the right-wing strategy. Let's get these balls through the
I guess I'm fascinated by it because I don't understand it at all. It's like there's this blog Slate or whatever, and they still do Supreme Court coverage all the time. But like a couple of years ago, they after the Roe v. Wade, after all of that stuff, they had this like the Supreme Court is broken whole thing, like outlining all of the ways in which this is just a legally incorrect opinion, and that it was not going to change, and so the Supreme Court itself was functionally broken, right? And then they kept writing articles, which does not make sense to me. Like, why would any opinion count after you've said they're broken? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, why would you be like, oh, the Supreme Court is out of pocket on this decision? No, they're broken. Mm-hmm. They were broken years ago. You told me.
Right.
Don't tell me anymore.
Well, is
they're
it
broken.
The same writer?
That's you know, the same blog.
Yeah.
It's the entire
there's different
place.
Contributors.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure.
I don't know. It's tough to make a publication responsible for like what one person might have said.
Sure.
That could have been an op-ed that
the Supreme Court
is broken. It's not like this is news.
Right.
But I don't know.
I understand.
Sometimes.
But that's the thing about the law, though. That's the fun thing about the law is that it's supposed to be hard.
So if
you break the law, which is there, like it's readable. So like if you're the Supreme Court and you have the law that you could read and you're like, nah, then it's broken.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that like you know, Slate maybe isn't responsible for every
right. No. I respect that. I respect what you're saying. I get you.
Underlying that, maybe what we should do is if you're going to run that article, maybe you should just have like a little asterisk at the beginning of all of the future Supreme Court stories that says
broken.
Yeah.
Supreme Court is broken until further notice.
Yeah,
Supreme
yeah.
Court is broken.
Yeah, like a wet floor sign.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. Because that's better than trying to pretend like oh, no, eventually we'll appoint a different judge and they'll bring a new case. Whenever these guys are dead?
Yeah, business as usual kind of.
Get out of here. Come on now.
So Alex is, he's complaining here a bit about how Americans are going to be replaced by migrants, which we know is something he's into.
Any moment now. Yep.
And then he announces that he's going to have Nick Fuentes on the show. And this is strange because Alex has made it very clear that he doesn't agree with how racist Nick is in recent times.
Yeah.
He's been very aware of how much of a bigot anti-Semite Nick is,
and he's really going for it.
Alex has made some lines between like I don't agree with this kind of stuff that Nick says.
Sure.
So Alex has to rationalize having him on.
Right.
And again, Biden says he's signing an executive order just to legalize the illegal aliens, and a week ago it was just people that are married to a citizen. Now this week it's going to be a path for everybody to be citizens. The globalists have done the math. They can bring in a giant third world population that doesn't know what freedom is, and they can checkmate this country and the voters of this nation. I am just absolutely amazed because, I mean, I knew this was all coming, but we're now living in this. They've got camps set up for us. They've got new viruses they see are coming out. They want to forcibly inject us with stuff that kills us. I mean, if they shoot you with a machine gun, you'd fight back, right? But if they come with a doctor and a shot, it kills you 6 months later, kills you 2 years later, it's like, okay. No. This is literally a ruling class that has decided to kill Americans and replace us with a bunch of third world slaves. who I feel sorry for and I want to help. But at the end of the day, they're now a weaponized group who had their country shut down for 3+ years in lockdowns, who are organized in UN camps with replacement migration, and then that are assaulting the United States. So when Nick Fuentes comes on, he's a smart guy and has a big following, and I disagree with some of the things he says, agree with a lot of what he says. I'm going to just ask him questions like, hey, what do we do about a civil war? What do we do about the camps? What do we do about the forced injections? What do we do about
the war with Russia? Child?
Because we just all day have, you know, culture war. And I get it. Israel's corrupt. Israel's got problems. The Israel lobby is going after free speech in America. I'm critical of it. But I don't then support the Muslims and the Palestinians either. But to me, it's all other people seem to talk about is Israel all day. Well, what are we going to do about the plan for a civil war?
Look, I got to talk to Nick Fuentes because he's smart and popular, but I don't want to I don't want to express his feelings about Jewish people. I just really don't want that. If he can play the game, then we can pretend all this other stuff isn't there. But I can't. That's the sense that I get. I feel like when there's somebody who is like a big old bigot and part of the reason... part of what underlies their arguments is these inherent bigotries that they have, right? You can't say, I disagree with some things and agree with others when you agree with the conclusions that are built on top of the bigotries.
Right.
You really can't do that. But that's what Alex, that's the trick that he's trying to pull.
Yeah, I mean, it is, it's a weird feeling to be like, listen, I think... what will be best for you emotionally is if you just admit you're a Nazi to yourself and say, it's okay for me to hate. Right?
Well, see, Alex is coming at it from the other perspective, which is what will be best for you, you'll make more money.
Sure.
Is if you just cool down a little bit of the words that you say.
Sure.
And then we can pass you off as normal.
Right.
We can pass you off as not this Nazi guy.
Right. But you're broke and you're a Nazi too.
Right. But Nick's broke, too.
Oh, man.
I don't know if he's broke.
We're a pair.
He just tried to do his America First political action conference in Detroit, and he ended up getting canceled because the venue found out, oh, it's a Nazi rally.
Yeah, it's a Nazi rally,
and so they ended up having to give a speech on the street. They got thrown out of the place where their after party was supposed to be.
Sure.
So I think that Nick is in a place where he might be like, maybe I do got to play
ball. Maybe you
got to
play some ball.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, you know, there's... that's always fun. It's always fun whenever there's the young person who's like, I'm not going to do it like they did in the past. And then they do it for a while. And they're like, oh, there's a reason they did it like they did it in the past. And then they just do it. You know, like Tyler, the Creator.
We might be getting closer to that inflection point of Nick softening.
Yep.
And it's interesting.
Nick's going to be Tucker Carlson in 2 months.
I was pretty sure. And I mean, we still have to see how things shake out in all this.
Sure.
But I was pretty sure that Nick would be the one who is very like uncompromising and he had much more principle, and Alex was, you know, the one who was going to lose out in the end.
Sure.
But when I listened to this interview, I really felt like Nick was being like playing Alex's game.
Yeah, well,
like he'd learned the lesson of like, I gotta play ball.
This is what comes from us being like completely childless people. You know, young people are very, very certain, very certain of how things are always going to be, and principles are so, you know, and then they change in like 2 seconds.
Yeah,
that's just what they are.
So, Alex gets to talking about the business.
Yep.
And I had no other way to describe this clip than you have to be an idiot not to see through what he's doing.
Okay.
Now, our sponsor, DrJonesNaturals.com, is not InfoWars. It's not free speech. It's owned by my dad. He's got his own warehouse, great products. Most of them used to get InfoWars are now available there. Turbo Force, 10-hour clean energy, next level foundational energy, all the nano silver products, the toothpaste and the tooth whitening and the nano silver toothpaste and the immune gargle and all of it, and 50% off. On a lot of these products, and we need your support. He's a great sponsor. DrJonesNaturals.com. DrJonesNaturals.com. Go there today, and that is the most obvious good place to support free speech and what we're doing. But if you won't stand with us when we'll take on the enemy head on, you're not standing up for yourself. I am in your hands. You are in my hands. Rocket Rest, incredible natural sleep aid. Works great, deep, clean sleep, so good for your immune system.
So great.
So good for your whole body. People don't think about how good deep sleep is for your immune system. Rocket Rest is an incredibly strong, high quality, organic, natural compounds God gave us. Sleep aid. Top Brain is an amazing nootropic brain booster. If you love Brain Force Plus, Brain Force Ultra, you'll love it. Top Brain, drjonesnaturals.com, and so many other products that are available. So please peruse the site. Please check it all out. And please support us. And I thank you for your past support. And I salute you. And you're the reason we're still here. I'm not giving up. Thank you for not giving up. And if we're going to go down, we're going to go down swinging. But drjonesnaturals.com.
Beautiful.
If the InfoWars mothership gets blown up and it's sinking right now, we may pump it and pump it, you know, the water out and get her back up and survive the ship. But I don't know. I'd say it's 50-50 right now that we'll be shut down in a month or so. But who knows what new stuff's going to happen. You know, God only knows. But drjonesnaturals.com is the place to take action if you want to historically stand with InfoWars during this incredible period. Dr. Jones Naturals.
It just couldn't be more obvious what is going on. He's making this so visible.
Yeah. I like it. See, here's the problem for me. I've gone through to the other side. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to win this one. And I'll tell you why, right? Because I've been saying stuff like, oh, this legal system, it's no good, right? And people are like, nominally, like, eh, but, you know, there's things, and then there's things, and then they do the thing, right? But if Alex gets away with this, nobody can argue with me ever again. All of you have to be quiet forever.
I guess you have a vested interest in him. I thought you were going to say that it's a catch me if you can kind of like...
No. I want him
pulling
to...
for the I'm
excited.
Scoundrel.
I'm excited because people have argued with me for so long about stuff. And if Alex wins, everyone has to be quiet around me.
If Alex can pull off the Dr. Jones Naturals switcheroo.
Yep. Then everyone has to be quiet. When I walk into a room, everybody has to like avert their eyes for a little while and be like, I'm sorry, Jordan. That's just what has to happen now.
All right.
Okay.
The new policy.
Mark it down.
I'm writing it down right now.
Okay.
So Nick shows up here on the show, but Alex is a bit defensive about the fact that he's on, because Alex has made it clear that Nick thinks differently about different groups of people,
right?
Like based on races and religions and that kind of stuff. And so he's really trying to rationalize this booking choice.
I want to cover 35,000 foot view stuff and get Nick's take on that, because I see him talk about history and big other world events, and he done his homework. People can say, well, what do you got Nick Fuentes on, you know, this Nazi? I wouldn't call him a Nazi.
I would.
But I'll explain. Where I stand is 100% clear. When the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Democratic Party, the major media literally says you're bad to be white in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, CNN, everywhere. And my six-year-old daughter, now seven, was at a summer camp last year for a sports camp. And during lunch, they had on loudspeakers that white people are inherently bad. And she said, am I bad because I'm white? It is healthy for white people to stand up and say, I'm not going to take this anymore, and I'm not going to be guilty.
Healthy.
Now, you can go to an extreme then of hating everybody else that isn't white. In my view, most people that aren't white are not out to get us, and they're good people. But
what?
A large group are being brainwashed, and whites are a minority, 7% worldwide. So overall, I've been thinking, compared to the ADL's total supremacy, anti-Western, anti-Christian stuff, well, what do you expect you're going to conjure with what you're doing? And so in an Overton window, Nick Fuentes moves it over here away from all whites are bad and we're the devil and we should pay reparations and kill ourselves with, you know, Nick over here saying basically the opposite.
Ooh, okay. So Nick is maybe not, well, he's a Nazi, but he's, you know, what do you expect? And it works to our advantage. This is very strange. This is not a good defense of the booking.
Boo. I mean, you know, it is so much... Like, all of the arguments for so many things are so elaborate, because if you just talk about the real truth of it, it doesn't sound good, you know, where it's like, well, I've got all these thoughts about it. Here's on the one hand and on the other, because the truth is just like, I'm a Nazi, you know, like, and if you're just truthful with yourself, it's usually a lot shorter than the explanation you tell yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
but it is also much less lucrative because
people
will treat you like a self-avowed, self-declared Nazi once you do that. And that's tougher for business.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's yeah, it's just tough.
Dr. Jones Naturals might pull their support.
It's tough
if you do that.
I mean, I imagine it must feel so stupid for. And I would imagine
for someone to say like something like that.
Well, you would think, but I mean, for the people who believe, for true like pro-life people, it must feel so stupid for so long for them to be like, yeah, a 3-month ban is the right amount, you know, because like they never meant it,
right?
But they, because the question is,
or like we totally are cool with contraception,
totally, yeah, absolutely. Oh, divorce is going to be fine, yeah, forever. No,
no interest in that, yeah, those.
We definitely don't have a book that supersedes your laws,
right?
All of that stuff. But it is like, because the question that you're talking about is, we think the soul comes in at this moment, mm-hmm, you know, so you can't be like, oh, well, 3 months is fine. That's just like, for now, I'm going to get away with 3 months.
Right.
Because I think the soul comes in at the moment.
This is where the acceptable line is for
exactly.
People to not immediately discount our arguments.
Right.
And eventually, maybe we can push it over to that side.
Yep.
And Nick is the representative of complete white identity,
yep,
and all
no,
this shit.
No exceptions for rape and incest.
Right.
Yeah.
And Alex is like, well, you know, if we could push it closer to that.
Listen, but if we say we can have exceptions now,
Alex,
then we cannot have them
guy.
Later. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We tell them that it's 3 months now, and then 6 months from now, we'll make it zero.
Yeah.
But if you say zero now, we'll never have it.
That's the tension.
Yeah.
So Alex asks an absurd compound question to kick things off.
Love it.
That culminates with Alex retracting his question and then saying, what would you do if you were president?
But would you
put
do
on your
if
prediction
it?
Cap here of what you think they're going to pull. I want to say the election fraud won't be enough to steal it. The numbers are there. So let's just hypothetically say Trump wins in 131 days. What happens then? And what can we do to make sure he gets in? And then how do we hold his feet to the fire and make sure he doesn't compromise just out of some of his political ignorance? And that's what's going on from my own research. And then what? And then the big question. That's a lot of questions. What would you do if you were President Trump? If Nick J. Fuentes was sworn in January 21st, 2025, what does Nick Fuentes do? Like, let's just start there.
Well, day one, I mean, the first thing he got to do is close the border, you know, because that is, people talk about election fraud, and you could talk about ballots, you could talk about media, but the biggest way that they're stealing elections is they're importing voters. They're importing these people. I imagine a lot of them are voting illicitly.
Of course they are.
And even if they're not, well, of course they are. And even if they're not, they're also being counted in the census, which is how the Electoral College votes are allocated, how the House is allocated.
Right. So Alex has this complex question and then is just like, what would you do if you're president? Which is a question he's already asked Nick on the show. I've heard him ask that question before.
Yeah.
And Alex knows the answer to that question.
Yep.
This is a test. This is a test question, because if Nick says we kick all the Jews out of office,
yep,
then it's like, okay, you haven't learned your lesson yet.
All right.
But if you say something like this, like close the borders, the illegal people voting is how we end up with changes in Congress seats.
Yep.
You're speaking in the right way. We're getting you there.
Yep.
And I can't hear that as any other thing than a test. Because Alex has asked that fucking question before.
Yeah. I'm getting season 5 of The Wire vibes right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, are we doing the part where everybody's taking in the old jobs of the new people? Is that what's happening?
Is this
the new Bubbles? Are we doing the new Bubbles? What's happening right now?
I don't know, but maybe. I mean, like, Nick was in Detroit bullhorning on the street because he couldn't be booked anywhere to speak.
What are we doing?
How is that not similar
to
Alex at the beginning of his career?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
I was going to say you got to keep the devil way down the hole. So Nick complains about DEI.
Oh, those DEI.
Yeah.
Ah.
But then you can hear him sort of expressing his racism through a bit of code.
Sure.
And I think that I think he's making an effort, maybe.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a difficult thing. I think that it starts with a political transition. We need to get these people out of power. They're reckless. They're irresponsible. You know, for a long time, they made it seem like they were the adults in the room and it was the populace like you and I that were crazy. And, you know, you and I, we have colorful personalities, but clearly we are much more on the ball and our fingers much more on the pulse than these planners who think that it's a good idea to import limitless number of people to go to war with Russia and China and Iran all at the same time. And, you know, all these endless things that just don't really make sense, but they insist do. So it starts with a political solution of getting the right people in power, getting responsible people in power. And we need to get smart people to start to come up with solutions. I think that's why the DEI stuff has to go, because at the same time that our problems are growing in complexity and growing in number, we're getting people that are less sophisticated, less competent, less in general, do not have the aptitude for it. We're choosing people based on the skin color, based on ideology rather than competence. So America needs to think in terms of people power. People are the greatest asset. We need to have the right people accelerate through the advanced colleges. We need the right people to join politics. We need the right people at the helm of the White House, Congress.
We need the right people.
I mean, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody who's like, listen, I took a George Wallace school of not saying segregation anymore. Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
I learned from 68.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, the right people.
Yeah. But right. You can tell that Alex is getting what he wants out
right.
of this.
Right, right, right.
You have got Nick, who is a much more, he sounds more like a normal person than Alex, with Alex's flair for the dramatic,
sure.
crying,
the whole thing.
Yelling,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and all this. Nick, if you don't know anything about him and you just saw him talking, mm-hmm. you'd be like, there's a studious person
yeah, yeah.
or whatever. So he speaks in code and speaks in all the ways that the right wing is accustomed to when they try to launder a lot of this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very marketable person here.
Yep.
And I think that Alex is picking up on, like, yep, I put out some bait and he didn't take it.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm really liking this conversation. This is what I wanted to do with Kanye a few years ago when he was in here with Nick. He can go off on whatever group he wants for 10 minutes. We heard it. Now I want to see about the rest of the world and big issues and what we're going to do and the wars and the border and the AI and you know, all of this. And so
he can go off on any group that he wants, but if he doesn't, we can pretend that he doesn't think those things. And we can pretend that the reason that he believes the political positions that he does believe in aren't in many ways built on his feelings about these groups.
Yep.
We can play hide the ball here.
Yep.
That's I can't get away from thinking that's what's going on.
No, I mean
interview.
It's exactly what's going on. It's just like, I don't know how long or how long we've been around for this entire, like, that person who's clearly a Nazi said some Nazi shit on TV but said it in code, and then the people on the TV are like, yeah, but you know what? He probably didn't. And that's it.
Yeah. And Nick is being trained.
Totally.
That, you're yeah. a young man.
Totally fine.
Calm down and you
Listen.
Can push all your Nazi ideas that you want.
Listen, we all love Nazis here. That's what we're doing. We're America. We love Nazis, but we don't like saying it. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Especially,
everybody loves Nazis, but nobody wants you to wear the uniform.
That's what Alex is trying to get through to this young Nazi.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex and Nick do have a little bit of problem in front of them.
Sure.
And that is that Trump recently said that people who graduate from colleges should get a green card.
Sure.
And
whatever. Fine.
Well, there's a problem.
That can't be okay.
Of course it can.
Of course it can't.
These people are largely motivated by a hatred of immigrants.
Of course.
And this is also a position that is really old. This is not a new idea for
yeah.
Trump to have. It's an idea that these folks are very much against.
Yeah.
And so they have a little trouble with that.
Okay.
But I did like 10 minutes yesterday, a whole segment. And I said, I get what Nick Fuentes is saying. And I agree with a lot of the Groypers. But I said, then there's a whole nother extreme of you know, people saying, well, we don't like anybody that isn't white. And I'm just like, that's not how I feel. I like everybody. I judge people off of how they operate and what they do. But then I also went on and I said, yeah, this Trump thing is dangerous. You know, just saying anybody that gets a college degree, well, they can give you, you know, mail-in degrees and then you're a citizen. But at the same time, Trump's always been for highly skilled people that come here being able to be a citizen, because that's what he's done in business. So people that are mad at Trump about it, and I get you're allowed to criticize. I'm not saying that's bad. To me, Trump will at least mitigate and shut the border down 90%, Would you rather have that or just, oh, Biden saying, get here, come here, take over, blah, blah, blah. So I don't believe in a lesser of two evils, but I also don't believe in a suicide pact. And I'm somebody very critical of Trump, so I'm not putting Nick down for being critical of him.
Yeah, you're famously critical of Trump. Also, Alex can't just say I'm not a lesser of two evils person after describing a lesser of two evils scenario.
Yeah, that's literally what he's describing.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. That's why it's just so much more fun being outside, because then you can not be a lesser of two evils guy.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you play the game, then you're immediately on like team sports.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be like, well, my team's better than the other team. So even though the other team is, or my team sucks, you know, I still have to be, you know, and it's like, nah, just leave.
Right.
Go.
And the reason that my team is losing is that the other team actually has secretly replaced the coach.
Yeah.
And
the coach
is a globalist.
Yeah. Both teams suck.
Not once you got that Trump card in there.
Yep.
So also Alex is clearly not dealing with the community that he's trying to reach here with Nick.
Right.
They are the people he's describing.
Yes.
So you got to try and defend this this immigration thing, because you can't turn on Trump, obviously, at this point.
Right.
You gotta just like we gotta somehow make this something we're really against, but I guess it's not Trump's fault, like the COVID vax thing.
Yeah,
so that's what we're aiming at. Oof.
It's really just about finding where is the sensible immigration policy.
No, I totally agree with you, and it's all been so one-sided. It's healthy to say no more for now, a moratorium. I was simply saying people mad at Trump. This has always been his policy, and if you go to one of his hotels, it's mainly Eastern Europeans. That's who he can get cheap, that quite frankly want to, and I'm not saying Americans are lazy, it's just harder to find them and organize them, though through these trade groups, through these corporate organizations, you're on a cruise ship, it's Eastern Europeans. You're in a fancy hotel, it's Eastern Europeans, because for whatever reason, they'll get the job done, they'll do it, that's the group they found that'll do it. I understand Trump's being honest about where he's made his money, at his casinos, at his hotels. So it's just Trump being honest. So I don't see it as a bad thing against Trump. You can say it's a bad policy. I'm just saying it's not some betrayal, because that's what Trump's always done.
Well, I would say that in 2016, he did say that he would revise the H-1B visa program. So it is a little bit of a shift on the policy. But you are right. Throughout his business career, he did use immigrant labor. You're absolutely right about that. And you're also 100% right that, and this is something that you notice, and this shows that people are getting the information on InfoWars, is that Donald Trump did attempt to recalibrate immigration. And you're 100% on the money that under the Trump administration, the focus shifted from family-based migration and humanitarian-based migration, meaning refugees and asylum seekers, to temporary or permanent work visas.
So there's a couple of interesting things that are going on here in this clip. First, apparently, Trump has made a lot of his money by exploiting Eastern European immigrant labor.
Apparently.
Cool.
Yeah. Turns out they're
strange.
Good slaves.
Strange.
Great.
Alex.
Okay.
Second thing, that dynamic with him and Nick is weird. Because what Alex is saying is like, hey, look, you could disagree with it, but he's not a hypocrite. He's not changing his position. And Nick's immediate response is, actually, it is. But then immediately he gives voice to, you're 100% right. You're right about this. You're right. He does use migrant labor. Blah, 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 blah. There is a refusal to accept completely false reality that Nick is bringing to the table. But then he catches himself and is like, all right, but I'm agreeing with you.
Here are the concessions I'm making just to get through this.
It feels like that.
Yep. Yep.
Strange.
I mean, you know, eventually you'd think, listen, I think the kid is an idiot, but eventually you have to learn. And he's touched fire so many times with Alex at this point that it's like, well, frankly, it'll just be an easier conversation if I just go, you're smart, and then say whatever I want.
That may be some of it.
Yeah.
I think another part of it is the harsh reality of I probably need him now.
Sure. Could be.
Maybe, this is one of the only ways. I could be the heir apparent, honestly.
Could be. It's entirely possible.
He's better than Owen.
Owen's not doing shit.
No.
Owen's gone. Once the boat is gone, Owen's adrift on a seaboard or whatever. Yeah.
So what they do agree on, the two of them, is that they want to stop immigration for 10 years. That's what they
You know what? I'm so glad that they put a date on it, because I was worried they wanted to stop it forever. But since they said they wanted to stop it for 10 years, these are reasonable people.
Right. These are the three reasonable months.
But yeah, these are smart people. So they stop it for 10 years. Uh-huh. Now, I imagine that we can all plan our, we can all set our watches by that. 10 years, everybody, it'll start back up on this day.
All Alex wanted was a 10-day investigation.
Totally.
Of the 2020 election.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, January 6th wouldn't have happened.
And that's the key, because the UN, the left, the universities, the media, they're weaponizing people. That's why I'm for a 10-year moratorium. If you want to get technical and I could get Trump to do what I wanted, I would just say nobody 10 years and then let's build up America. So if you want to know where I would stand, I'd say 10 years, zero immigration, basically.
Me too. That's exactly, you know, you asked what would I do on day one. If I were Trump at the convention, I would say, you know what? We have just had too much immigration for too long, and it's not helping anybody. You know, and it's actually interesting. Hispanics are becoming more Republican. It's these third and fourth generation Hispanics who are actually now reacting against the first generation Hispanics that are coming over and taking their jobs. So it's like you said, and I said this on Twitter, it almost isn't even necessarily a race issue. Race is a component, but it doesn't need to be.
Wait. Hold on. This doesn't need to be a race issue. Now, race is a part of it, but it doesn't have to be. We can sell this in a non-racist way. But don't get it twisted. I am racist.
I mean, you know, it wasn't until we started doing this show that I really regretted learning all the words. Mm. I loved words. I used to love words, Dan. Mm. I loved books. I loved the collected human understanding of things.
You read the encyclopedia as a young man. But that's how you gained so much information.
Loved it. Mm-hmm. And now I realize that they're all empty, meaningless, and have no point other than for the masturbatory purposes of these two idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. Words exist to funnel money to Dr. Jones Naturals.
Yes, that is exactly what words are for.
Yeah,
I was a fool to think otherwise.
So we know from listening to Alex a whole bunch that there's a preoccupation with they're about to kill Trump.
Sure.
That was happening before the 2016 election. Sure. It's going to happen at his inauguration in 2016. It's going to happen the entire time he was in office.
Yep.
It's going to happen in the 2020 election. They're always going to kill him. They're trying to poison his Cokes, his Diet Cokes.
Crazy.
Yeah. But now, there might be something happening.
Well, he's just got regular heart disease? He's an old fucking dude. He's going to die, like, immediately.
No, they're going to kill him.
Okay.
But maybe they'll kill Biden instead. Or maybe both. I don't know. This is fun
conversation.
Sure, that sounds
fun. Yeah, I like that. Let's do this.
My concern is that the deep state never gives up. And that they killed JFK for not going along with him in 63 in Dallas. It is a real possibility they could kill Trump or they could kill Biden and claim a right winger did it to then use that as the excuse to replace him. They could kill him at the DNC in Chicago or right before. I mean, I don't think it is a possibility. I think it is a very good probability that they are considering doing this. Can you speak to the issue of assassination?
I think it's very likely. I think you're right about that. And the thing is about Trump, you have to realize they have thrown everything short of assassination at him.
Yeah, so they probably are going to assassinate him. But Alex, while he's talking, you could hear him say, like, maybe Biden. He gets more excited about the possibility that someone will kill Biden.
Sure.
Because I think he realizes this is probably the only way that, you know, he's not the candidate.
Yeah.
And so Alex is like, oh, wait, they could do that.
Yeah.
Does this work for the story?
Then we'd have a much better TV cycle because there would be somebody who's not these two idiots.
Yeah.
At least anybody.
So Alex gets a little bit excited about that because I think that, honestly, they're going to kill Trump is a little bit the sky is falling, kind of. You know, I think people are a little...
Why?
We're a little bit... We've heard this too many times.
It doesn't make sense to kill Trump. If you were going to kill Trump, Trump would be dead. There's no more I'm going to kill Trump. He can't... More
well,
be Trump.
Well, no, because as Nick explains, they've done everything but that to him. They've been trying all the other paths.
I really don't think they have. I kind of think nobody's put that much in his way at all. And if anything, everyone has opened the door as much as possible for him.
And they've repeated some things.
Yeah.
You know, like there were two impeachments.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know if it's just like escalating options.
That's the thing. That's that lesser of two evils thing. That's, you had two impeachments. Now you're losers. So all the Democrats are losers. You tried twice and you lost. So you're losers for good. There's no teams. There's no teams. You're all losers. You should feel bad for losing.
This clip is going to be in a Trump ad. Jordan Holmes, noted leftist.
They lost in 2020. You're a bunch of fucking losers. You lose. Just take the L.
No.
Ugh.
So we have one last clip here.
Yeah.
And it's because Alex kind of realizes, like, shit, you were giving a speech on the street in Detroit.
Yeah.
Because the system or whatever.
Sure.
The hotel that you were giving a speech at and you're holding your conference at realized who you were and didn't want to be associated.
Right.
So you got kicked out and you got thrown out of things. Meanwhile, it was happening at the same time that I was in Detroit. And I was on stage and welcome at Turning Point USA, which did not allow you in.
Right. Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So let's.
Who's got the street cred these days?
Huh.
I didn't know you were going to Detroit a week and a half ago, and I was invited to go to that. And I was supposed to get there earlier, but stuff got delayed. But I got there after Trump was there, and I spoke the next day. Then I learned your event got canceled at another facility, and then you were in TPUSA, and they threw you out. I just want to say I like the folks at TPUSA, but they need to get past being scared of the establishment, what they're going to say about us. It shows how far they've come just to invite me. That was them realizing being the outlaw, being the outsider, being the rebel's good. I think they should invite you to speak and say, we don't agree with everything Nick says, but it's free speech. They should invite leftists on. You know, they should invite AOC there. That would make it more interesting. But
oh, sure, sure.
Oh, my God.
So there is just something really strange here. But there's a couple things that are obviously implied by this. One, Alex wasn't invited to America First PAC.
Nope.
So that's strange.
Yep.
Or he was, and a condition of speaking at Turning Point was that he couldn't go
to
Nick Fuentes's thing.
Possible.
So he either wasn't wanted at America First or whatever. Now, he did go to Turning Point, and what Alex is expressing essentially to Nick is like, you say the 3-month thing, like as you put it, you can get on stage at Turning Point.
You get on stage.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
They're not letting you in the door.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is the part where it's like, this is why showbiz and politics should never be anywhere near each other, because this is the old showbiz thing. This is the old, like, I've been famous, I've been there, kid, and now I'm going to take you under my wing. This is the new comic who's opening for him on the road, you know, and he's telling him all of this stuff, and
Nick did go along with him and Ali Alexander for the Stop the Steal.
And you can feel that, like, I used to have an edge. Mm-hmm. I used to be there. I remember the feeling of having an edge.
I used to be thrown out of places.
I used to be cool, and now I realize through you, I am not. But by being with you, I can kind of get some of that juice again.
Yeah.
You know?
And flip side, Nick is kind of realizing, I think on some level, when I do my bigoted ass show on the internet from my desk or wherever the fuck he's broadcasting from.
Yeah.
And all people like spam slurs in the chat and all this, it feels like there's an outsized power to it.
Right.
But then I try to bring this into the real world and we get thrown out of our venue. We try to go to a bar for an after party. We get thrown out.
Yeah.
And I end up giving a speech on the street to an underwhelming crowd of people.
Yep.
So I think that maybe he's like, oh, the reality of where the rubber meets the road for me isn't what it is online. Yeah. And so maybe I don't have the power that I thought I did. And maybe there is something to what Alex is saying.
There's an ultimate lesson that Alex has to teach Nick.
Yeah.
And I hope he does not find out what it is.
Yeah.
But the ultimate lesson is this. All right. On your show, say whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
No one's watching.
Yeah.
When you're not on your show, you fucking say what they need you to say.
Yeah.
To get whomever needs to come to your stream, who will come to your stream, mm-hmm. and then you'll get five of them that stick around. But when you're not on your show, you play the game.
And I think that more than other times that Nick has been on with Alex, I feel like he is getting that lesson a little bit more than normal.
Yep.
And so that's, you know, troubling.
Because it's the one that Alex has the most power with, you know? Mm. Like, Alex can go on Joe Rogan and they say shit, but they don't go like, hey, you literally believe that you're a psychic fighting God's battle against literal Christian
because
devil.
You wake up in the middle of the night and know what time it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Like, that's disqualifying.
Yeah.
That's the Supreme Court is broken.
Right,
you know?
Right. No, but Alex's power on that front is actually two-pronged.
Yeah.
Because there is the, like, know when the situation is like that Rogan thing, where you can say whatever you need to say to be interesting and get people over to you.
Yeah.
And then the second is when you're in a hostile environment, know that it doesn't matter and get your plugs in.
Right.
Just yell Infowars.com on Piers Morgan's show and you know.
Listen, Nick, your whole hearts and mind shtick, get it out of here. Mm. Just yell your plugs and get back to work.
Maximize what you can get out of situations, and that is your ultimate truth.
Maximize what you can get out of situations as your damn, Dan.
Mm.
That's fucking, that's dark.
Yeah.
That is a dark, true thing.
Well, that's what happens when you listen to a sort of boring interview. Yeah.
Eventually, you get to the secret heart of the universe.
Yeah. So anyway, we had a guy from Sydney who's living in the Russian consulate, and Nick Fuentes.
Yep.
The stars are out. Still no Stallone.
Amazing. But, amazing.
Here's what we've got.
This is the type of show that you just gotta wind down. Mm-hmm. You can't just close this shit down.
No. If this was gone tomorrow.
Chaos.
Oh.
Fucking chaos. What's Owen gonna do?
Right. He's gonna have to interview Stallone. That's no good.
Oh, God.
So we'll be back. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens with that debate.
Indeed we will.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the mysterious professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.